I spent some time reflecting on where God might want us to focus our attention this evening, and I came back repeatedly to Philippians chapter 2, and I'm reading from verses 5 to 16. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world by holding firm to the word of life. I recently heard a report that the President of the United States had told a meeting of evangelical leaders that they were one vote away from losing everything. One vote away from losing everything. I suspect that we, especially in this election environment that we too are living in at the moment, can feel a bit the same, that we are one vote away from losing everything. When we see the erosion of the things that we hold dear, the valuing of family, the valuing of relationships, the valuing of life itself, when we see people arguing for a position based on their own sense of autonomy, even at the expense of the most vulnerable at the beginning and end of life, when we hear people asserting their right to be and to live however they like, we can feel that we are close to losing everything that we have held dear. But, brothers and sisters, we are not. Because everything that matters to us has nothing to do with what happens in politics. Everything that matters to us cannot be legislated away, cannot be argued away, cannot be negotiated away, because everything that matters to us is in the hands of the God who has already established victory over everything. The everything that we hold dear begins and ends with the Christ who was prepared to give up everything so that we might gain it. The Christ who, Paul reminds us here in Philippians, counted his extraordinary power and authority and dominion over the world as nothing compared to his love for us, and was willing to surrender all of that, to empty himself, to humble himself, to limit himself to human realities and constraints, to submit himself to the humiliation of the death on the cross, so that by his resurrection and ascension he might establish a victory over death that assures us of life. How can we fear for anything, far less everything, when our life is in the hands of that God? So then, how do we respond? Because we do live, as Paul says here, in a wicked, a crooked and perverted generation. We live in a crooked and perverted generation in exactly the same way as the Philippian church did 2,000 years ago, as I would suggest faithful men and women have in every generation from the beginning of time. Our generation is no more or less crooked or perverted than any other. Human beings are, in my opinion, no more evil than they have ever been before. We are all subject to the reality of living in a fallen and broken world. Our generation, every human generation, is crooked because we choose to walk our own winding path of rebellion rather than trusting in the ways of God. Our generation, like every other, is perverse and perverted because we have replaced the law of the Lord with the law of our own hearts. And it is only when we turn back and understand who we are in Christ that we can truly find the meaning and purpose of life. For it is God's will and work according to his good purpose that we should be exemplars of Christ's love to the world. And there is just one line in this passage that resonated for me with an extraordinary depth as I reflected on it. That we are called to live in unity, to do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that we can be presented pure and blameless, faultless, so that in this, like every other, crooked and perverse, rebellious, lost generation, we may shine like stars in the world. Brothers and sisters, we are called to shine like stars in our world, to shine like stars for the Bellarine. There are two things that strike me as particularly significant when I think about that. For millennia, travellers of various sorts have used the stars as the means of navigation. It is the stars that have provided the lost with a sense of direction, that have given a meaning, a shape, and a purposefulness to the miasma of the great unordered heavens, have allowed people to make sense of where they were and where they were going. We, friends, are called to shine like stars in our world. How often do we hear social commentators talk about how people today are in desperate need of a moral compass, a sense of direction, a sense of purpose, something by means of which to navigate the moral morass of our modern world. We are to be stars for the people of the Bellarine. We are to live our lives individually and in our communities of faith with a clarity of purpose and an articulation of the gospel that gives people a sense of direction, that helps people to see where they ought to be going. Dave spoke earlier about the great joy of seeing people whose lives are entirely a mess doing a 180 and going in the right direction. The question is, how will they know which is the right direction? They only know where to point themselves if we point them to Jesus. Otherwise, they can just spin in circles, and we watch them, don't we? Spin in circles endlessly, looking for that direction. Our job is to point them to Jesus, to be that fixed point by which they can navigate their lives to the safe harbour of salvation. We are called to be stars in the world, to shine like stars in the world, to provide direction and focus and meaning. But of course, there's more to stars than that. The greatest star in our world, because of its proximity, is our sun, the source of light to our world, directly and indirectly. And Jesus himself says of those who follow him in the Sermon on the Mount and in other places in John's Gospel, "You are the light of the world." We are to shine like stars, to be the light of the world, to take the Christ light into our world. Now, let me remind you, that doesn't come without cost. Let me tell you a story. Some years ago, we bought a house that was in need of quite a lot of renovation, and it had some interesting light fittings in the south-facing lounge room. They were these kind of, well, it looked a bit like some kind of unfortunate architectural collision between something from the Wild West and an exotic chandelier. So you had these great arrays of little globes, each with their dimpled orange spherical shade perched on a great cast iron thing. But there were higher priorities in the renovation budget, so it stayed for some time. Eventually, we got to the point that we could replace them. And we did. The first night I turned on the light in the room with the new clear shades on the new larger light fittings, I was appalled. Somehow overnight, the paint on the walls had turned a dingy grey. The floor had acquired some very interesting marks, the origin of which I was not inclined to inquire into. I had two small boys at the time. And the sofa had mysteriously become by turns threadbare and shiny, depending on the angle from which you viewed it. The same thing happens, does it not, when we allow the light of Christ to shine into our lives, when we take off whatever dingy shades we've been allowing to obscure the view of what's really going on in our lives, and we see with clarity what God sees when he looks at us, and we become painfully aware of all our shortcomings, of all our faults and failings, of all the things that stand in the way of our truly shining as Christ's light in the world. And we have to do the hard work of repentance, the hard work of allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us, the hard work of submitting to the discipline of discipleship. And it's only when we do that that we can shine as stars in the world. Because we are not called to shine as stars in the world, illuminating the world with our own brilliance, although many of us have probably got the capacity to do it. Nor are we to shine as lights in the world on account of the fact that we are more knowledgeable or occupying the moral high ground and therefore able somehow to look down on others. We shine as lights in the world, Paul tells us here, by holding firm to the word. The word that tells us from beginning to end that we do not work out our own salvation independent of what God has done for us in Christ. But what we have to work out is how we can live in gratitude and heartfelt response to what God has done in us. We don't have to work out our salvation. Dean reminded us earlier, God has achieved our salvation. It is a gift, not a burden. But it is a gift that we will only fully appreciate when we engage with it and share it with others. It's a gift that requires that we do something with it and that we share it with the world around us. We know what God has done for us in Christ. We know the hope we have, the great beacon of light that the promise of God is for us. And we are called to respond to that by living in unity with one another without grumbling and arguing, by living in a way that is blameless and pure, so that in the midst of our fallen, broken, bent out of shape world, in the face of the exploitation of the vulnerable, in the face of the perversion of the things that we find beautiful, we will shine like stars in the world by holding firm to the word. This is the gift that God has given us for the Bellarine, that we can be lights in our world by holding firm to the word of life. Amen.